This morning is Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16, if you'd like to follow along. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We'd like to invite Reverend Steve Bills now to come and bring our message. He's our executive minister up in Portland of ABC CPC.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. I bring greetings this morning from the 79 other churches that are part of the American Baptist Churches in the Central Pacific Coast. We're a diverse family. On any given Sunday morning, our 80 churches are worshiping in 9 different languages. Next Sunday, I have the privilege of going to a church in Gresham, where we will be welcoming our most recently added church, a church that worships in Arabic. And I'll let you know how that goes. Sometimes I have trouble understanding even my English-speaking pastors. So when we get to Spanish and Yumin, which is from Laos, I understand, I'm just totally lost. It was about 10 years ago that I was installed as the executive minister of the region. Back then it was called the American Baptist Churches of Oregon and was ABCO, and we still have people who call it that 10 years later. My guest installing sermon preacher was a guy named Joe Cutter. He was a pastor from Topeka, Kansas, but he was the president of the American Baptist Ministers Council. And Joe was always a good friend, and I thought that it would be interesting to hear him and his take on installation. Little did I know that Joe had never actually preached an installation service before, and he confessed when he got into the pulpit that he wasn't sure exactly what an installation was, so he looked it up in Webster's Unabridged Dictionary and found the word install means to nail, tack, or screw to the wall. So today we're going to welcome Jeff, and hopefully, amongst all the other silly things that today brings with it, we will do a credible job of tacking him to the wall. You know, throughout the Bible, we are encouraged to share with our children, our grandchildren, with future generations, the faithful working of God in and through our lives and the lives of all of our ancestors. This constant reminding serves to show us that even when things aren't going exactly as we'd like them to go, there's no reason to believe that God has forsaken or abandoned us. One of the important steps that a congregation has to take during the pastoral transition is a healthy review of its history. We call it the founding story. This reflection helps a congregation and a search committee get a glimpse into what God has historically done in and through that church. Sometimes this walk down memory lane helps to remind us that God is and always has been faithful to us, even when we are and have been between pastoral leaders. I'd like to read to you from Psalm chapter 78 about this walk down memory lane. For some of you, this will be a familiar passage. If you're taking notes, I'm reading basically 1 through 4. And I do trust that you're all taking notes. What? So funny. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings or riddles of old, which we've heard and we've known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from children. We will tell them to the generations to come the praises of God and his strength and his wonderful works, all that he has done. As individuals, we're blessed when we take time to count our many blessings. I didn't tell you in advance that could have been one of the hymns that we sang. When we do an inventory of the special ways that God has made his constant presence actually felt to us,
We know he's always there, but there are times in our lives when he was intentional about reminding us of his presence. Sometimes, however, we don't know in the moment that God has supernaturally interfered in our time and our space. But when we take time to look back, it becomes apparent that what happened was no coincidence. Or at the very least, God was able to work all things together for our ultimate good. As I look back over my life, I see the hand of God clearly working to prepare me for the next or future steps or stages in my journey. There are clear indications that what made absolutely no sense to me at the time, it was clearly God working and shaping me for my then current and perhaps more importantly, for my future work. At the end of this very same psalm, Asaph, who was King David's music director, draws our attention to this vocational connection between David's past and his kingly reign. These last three verses of the chapter provide us with some helpful applications that we will reflect on this morning as we celebrate this opportunity to install Pastor Jeff. Psalm 78, again, if you're taking notes, this is verses 70 through 72. He also, talking about the Lord, if you read back further, he also took David his servant. He took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes that had young. And he brought him to shepherd Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. All right, like any good Baptist sermon, I've got 3 points and no poem. But I have 3 points, and so if you're taking notes, number one, God chose David. He also chose David, his servant. Let me just say here that there are some vocations, and the word vocation means calling. There are some vocations that one simply does not choose. It, or he, chooses them. James chapter 3, verse 1 says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that teachers will receive a stricter judgment." When you stand in front of a group of people and say, "This is what you should think, and this is what you should do," and people fall for that and actually do it, you're going to be judged for that. I always tell pastors and those seeking ordination, if there's anything else you can do that you would enjoy, just do that. This is not something that you want to aspire to. But if you are called to it, you better respond. When someone says there's a calling on your life, what they usually are saying is that they've observed in you the gifts, the traits, the passions, the sensitivities that must be present in someone who is going to be an effective leader of Christ's church. When churches see someone in their midst developing in this way, they ought to be encouraging that person to consider whether or not God might be calling them into the ministry. In Baptist circles, when this happens, the local church may license or sometimes even ordain someone who demonstrates a clear gifting and calling from God. It's a time of mutual discernment. Now, we all have different talents. We all have different spiritual gifts. We all have different personality traits. Regardless, though, of what you're paid to do, you will be judged by God to determine to what extent you maximize the talents and gifts and traits that he gave you. In Colossians chapter 3, we read this verse that says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." In Baptist circles, there's no real distinction between clergy and laity, other than function. Pastors are not holier or better connected to the man upstairs than are the people in the pews. We are all, and if you're taking notes, write this down, we are all in full-time Christian service. The pastor is simply the one that God has placed in the body to equip the body to do the work of ministry. The passage we read this morning, "He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." The purpose of a pastor in a Baptist congregation is to equip the saints, to maximize, to polish, to identify their gift, their skills, their personality, so that they can be as effective as possible in the work of the ministry. Number two here in Psalm chapter 78 is an interesting observation that Asaph brought forward, and I want to point out too, God built on David's prior experience. Notice what it says. He took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes that had young, and brought him to shepherd, not more sheep, to shepherd Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. I'm sure that Pastor Lundblad has reflected on his path that brought him to this point today. He can see skills and values and abilities that have been instilled and exercised and polished in previous experiences, both before and since he may have come to faith in Christ. Perhaps as you reflect on your secular experiences, you can see some correlation to the spiritual work you're called to do. After all, there are similarities between fishing for fish and fishing for men, right? Yeah, there is. You know, when working with search committees, I try to stress the need to find a good match. Not too unlike the 29 dimensions of compatibility promised by eHarmony.com. The goal of the search committee is to find the pastoral leader best suited to meet the needs and wants of their unique congregation. As you move forward as a congregation together with your new pastor, you will become aware of compatibilities that you will be convinced must be more than mere coincidences. When you have needs or weaknesses, he will have strength and resources. Where he needs to be refined, you will have the grace and capacity to minister to him in very specific ways. Here's an advertisement. The Pastoral Relations Committee is designed to be a proactive ministry in the life of your pastor. It's not supposed to be a complaint box that only mobilizes when someone starts to gripe. Number three, David's character and David's talent both contributed to his success. The last verse. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Socrates is the one who said, to be is to do. The French philosopher Sartre said, to do is to be. And of course, Frank Sinatra said, do be, do be, do. All right, that goes with the palindrome and Groundhog Day. We got the silliness out of the way. Integration is when everything is unified. Disintegration is when everything becomes separated. So integrity, integration, is what you have when what you say and what you do harmonize. Your integrity is who you are when no one is around to see what you do. Abraham Lincoln said, nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to see a man's true character, give him power. Now, I know in a Baptist church, there's very limited power that comes with this job, but one cannot be an effective shepherd without having consistency in their life. If you're known for living differently than how you are encouraging others to live, your encouragement will fall on deaf ears. The natural talents and even the spiritual gifts that we possess can and must be exercised and polished. When we read about the skillfulness of David's hands, it refers to the practical outworking of his shepherding skills. Who knows what God might be having you do today that will turn out to be preparation for what he wants to use you to do sometime in the future. When we encourage women and men upon whom we sense God's calling to go to Bible college or seminary, we are acknowledging that it takes study and work to develop the skillfulness necessary to be fully utilized in his service. The successful pastors that we see today are those who have embraced a philosophy of being lifelong learners. They are aware that they can always improve, that they need to be fully engaged in life in order to be the most effective ministers to their communities. Paul's exhortation to his disciple, to his son in the faith, Timothy, near the end of the second epistle says this. I'm going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, where it says this, starting in verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man and woman of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So to you, Jeff, I make the same charge that Paul made to the Ephesian elders in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. Therefore, take heed to yourself and to all of your flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And to the good folks here at Eastwood Baptist Church, I would share with you from the last chapter of the book of Hebrews, from the paraphrase known as the Message. Be responsive to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They are alert to the condition of your lives, and they work under the strict supervision of God. Contribute to the joy of their leadership, not to its drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for them? I'm going to invite Jeff if he would come up now, and if you have in your hand the sheet that includes the language that we will use for this installation service, pull it out. Search committee first.
Hi. Thank you. Before we get started, I would like to offer a thank you to Steve. He was a great counsel for the search committee. He always was available for me to come to as a counsel and just a person to run things through. So thank you, Steve. I really, really appreciate that. And I speak on behalf of me and the search committee. Referring to your sheet now, the search committee and the deacons of Eastwood Baptist Church are pleased to present the Reverend Jeff Lundblad for installation as our pastor. Though we are gathered today to install Jeff, we are each a part of this ministry that we confirm and celebrate today. I invite our regional minister, Reverend Steve Bills, to lead us in covenant that we will weave together as partners in ministry.
Thank you, Jerry. Ministry is collaborative. It's a shared calling. In a tapestry of gifts of the Spirit, the pastor, the congregation, and the region, and God, work together, focusing upon and striving first for the realm of God. Jeff, do you reaffirm your confession of faith, your baptism, and give yourself as a follower of Jesus?
I do.
Do you reaffirm your ordination vows and promise to live your ministry in accordance with the teachings of Jesus? Do you accept the responsibilities of lead pastor to which you have been called?
With the guidance of God and his help, I do.
To the congregation, I ask, do you reaffirm your confessions of faith and baptisms? Do you promise to use your gifts and talents within and beyond this congregation?
We do.
Do you covenant with Jeff as your pastor?
We receive Reverend Jeff Lundblad as pastor and teacher, promising to journey together as witnesses for the Divine One, whose expansive, extravagant love leads us to true community, deep spirituality, and a passion for justice. We promise to support his ministry through prayer, through the use of our gifts, talents, and skills. We welcome his pastoral care and leadership. We affirm his role as preacher and teacher, as sojourners in the faith. We lead ourselves together today.
I'm going to ask the deacons and the members of the search committee if they would come forward as we pray for Jeff. I'm going to move this chair here and ask Jeff to sit in it, and we will gather around him and put our hands on his shoulder. And if you can't reach him, just put your hands on the shoulder of someone else who is putting their hands on his shoulder. Pray with me. Father, we are excited this day as we see before us the completion of the work of the Pastoral Search Committee. We thank you for their commitment to find for this congregation the pastoral leader to which you have led them. We thank you for their diligence. We thank you for their work in discerning who you would have serve in this capacity. We thank you for Jeff and his family and their willingness to relocate and to be here in Medford. We pray that the relationship that is developing between pastor and congregation would continue to grow and flourish and be very, very fruitful. We ask your blessing on Jeff, his family, on the members and attenders, and the community of Medford here for Eastwood Baptist Church and for the American Baptist Churches of the Central Pacific Coast. We thank you for making your presence felt in our midst this morning and ask your blessing on the ministry that we will watch unfold. We pray this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare you, Jeff, properly installed as the pastor of Eastwood Baptist Church, and we commend you to the grace of God in the discharge of your duties as a minister of the gospel. May God count you worthy of your calling and bring to fulfillment in you every good purpose and every act inspired by faith. Pastor, welcome.
Thank you very
much. Congratulations.